Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Adi Oladipo here. Thank you so much for downloading Fight Night Extra. Remember, we're here every single Tuesday live on TalkSport to myself and the great Gareth A. Davis. If you can't join us live, remember to subscribe to the Fight Night podcast channel. So much other great content there as well, such as Fight Night, Fight of My Life, and even the Mike Tyson story, The Boy from Brownsville.
This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
Good afternoon. If you love your boxing and your MMA, then this is the show for you. Fight Night Extra, myself, Adi Oladipo, and the great Gareth A. Davis, where we discuss all the latest from the world of combat sports. Today, we're going to be recapping an entertaining night. It really was in Bournemouth as Chris Bynum-Smith beat Isaac Chamberlain to retain his European and Commonwealth Cruiserweight titles. Ben Whittaker made his professional debut. The Olympic silver medalist produced a highlight reel knockout and also made headlines for his very flamboyant ring walk and post-fight interviews. Delighted to say that he will be joining us live as well from Spain around 5:15. YouTuber turned boxer Jake Paul is back in the headlines after his long-awaited fight with Tommy Fury was cancelled for a second time. Fury's replacement, Haseem Rahman Jr., also has pulled out at the 11th hour. Both men are blaming each other for the latest last-minute postponement. We are going to hear what both had to say and make our own mind up a little later as well. And Amanda Nunes, the woman deemed by many to be the greatest female mixed martial artist of all time, returns to the octagon to retain her belts against Juliana Pena at UFC 277 as well. Look, don't go anywhere. This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
Haseem Rahman Jr. has pulled out of the fight. This is not a joke. We just found out this news. And this is just another case of a professional boxer, just like Tommy Fury, being scared to fight me.
Amanda Nunes said that she was not right before the first fight, and she proved it tonight.
And that will do it. The greatest of all time came to fight tonight, and in all likelihood will regain double champion status.
Greatest of all time. There's a debate to be had there. I think she's starting to creep that way for me as well now. Amanda Nunes, the greatest female fighter of all time and one of the greatest fighters of all time, let alone female. Gareth A. Davis in studio.
Loving it.
Which is fantastic. Obviously, normally because of sort of he's busy during the week, scheduling conflicts, but he's here in person. Great to have you here. Let's start with the war, and it was a war Saturday night in Bournemouth. Really good to see fights happening down there now as well on the South Coast. Me and you were here on fight night on Saturday watching it. It was very difficult to do the show and watch it, but what we saw already was starting to kind of unfold as would be a war, and it ended a war as well, didn't it?
Yeah, there was a lot of jeopardy on the line for both men, for Isaac Chamberlain as well. You know, Chris Billam-Smith has come out with all the plaudits, and, you know, they're looking to build him, of course, towards a rematch with people like Richard Riakpor, who he lost by split points decision to a few years back. What I loved about it was that both men went to deliver on the night. You and I were getting very excited about the early part. We had Ebony Bridges in with us, didn't we? And she was getting excited. Mm. It was a toe-to-toe battle. Billam-Smith showed that he's got proper cojones about him. I'm disappointed for Isaac as well. But I think Billam-Smith, even though he's from Epsom, Surrey originally, he really harnessed the crowd, Addy. And, you know, given that Bournemouth have gone into the Premier League, haven't they, this season, he'll be able to do something very special down there. I think they can build an audience in that area. Smart move by Ben Shalom, Sky and Boxer. I can't remember the last card down in Bournemouth. It might have been a Tony Oakey card years and years ago.
That's,
I mean, but it's a fight town because the Navy's down there as well. Yeah. They're in Portsmouth. So, no, it was a great fight, a really good night. And, you know, Billam-Smith has shown that he's maybe got world-class qualities about him, because he dug deep there and he came through a few torrid rounds early on. Thoroughly deserved the victory, though.
Yeah, thoroughly deserved. You are correct. Especially coming off that good win against Tommy McCarthy. I actually thought, and this isn't to discredit Isaac Chamberlain, I thought Isaac Chamberlain maybe was a step down to Tommy McCarthy. Obviously, Tommy McCarthy, former European champion himself. And I was a bit surprised, having watched it back now, the way Isaac fought. He went to war immediately. And I thought, okay, that's going to be Chris Billam-Smith's game plan, because that's just how he fights. Isaac Chamberlain, I more look at as a slick boxer, maybe, you know, on the outside, use his jab, engage when he needs to engage. He went to war immediately. And I saw his face after. Now, he's got broken orbital bone. His face has really swelled up. And maybe they got the tactics wrong. Maybe they're just how Chris Billam-Smith dictated the fight. I'm not quite sure. But in the end, I think Chris Billam-Smith showed that he's a level above Isaac Chamberlain. And if it is the Riakpor fight, it could be as close as the first one. Just both of them have gone up another level now. You know, Riakpor was there ringside as well. So I think that's the one they're going to try and sell, especially if they don't get a Riakpor world title fight or Chris Billam-Smith a world title fight. You might as well just do Billam-Smith Riakpor.
Maybe, but look, you've got to say about Isaac Chamberlain, I've seen those pictures as well.
Horrific, aren't they?
Well, yeah, I mean, he's disfigured.
He's definitely disfigured.
But, you know, boxers are proud of those moments. They seem to heal incredibly quickly. Look, you've got to remember that he lost by unanimous points decision, I think it was to Lawrence Okolie, in his 10th fight. Yeah. British beef, it was called, but it ended up being more like corned beef hash with peas. because they held and
it was a really awful night.
9,000 at the O2 Arena that night.
Started booing.
And they were headlining. Yeah, because they weren't kind of headliners at that point, and Eddie Hearn was trying them out in that way, and they were kind of novices, both of them. But Isaac Chamberlain isn't going anywhere in terms of disappearing. I think his stock rose as well in lots of ways. Yeah. I thought it was Billam-Smith's fight to lose, and there were moments in that fight where Billam-Smith was rocked really early on. Isaac will have gained something from that. He'll know how deep he can go. And showing off those battle scars is a proud moment for him. Yeah. Showing off his face is not a, look what happened to me, I feel terrible about myself. He feels good about himself.
Yes, look what I can go through.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. And you know, as I say, both men's stock rose for me. How far Billam-Smith goes, I don't know, but it was a good night, certainly.
Yeah, it certainly was a good night. Good night for Ben Whitaker as well on his professional debut, got the win. You're giving me a look because you did not like the flamboyant showboating, did you?
No, it was circus acting, and I think Ben had nerves. I think he overdid the show.
Yeah.
We saw his skills on display, no question about it. Movement, angle, speed.
Very, very good.
But you don't walk away backwards from your opponent and do the jig, and not when you've come from the amateur pedigree that he's come from. Olympic silver medalist, Olympic final. Think how many people get to an Olympic final. Very, very few. And I know we've got him on the show in a little bit, but I wonder whether it was orchestrated by him to try and make as many haters as he can lovers of him. He's a terrific, handsome, educated talent who's under the auspices of Sugar Hill Stewart, who's a quirky character himself. Yeah. Sugar won't be telling him off for that.
Of course
but,
not.
But I'm going to be telling him off when he comes
on. He goes to post-fight press conferences with his top off. Sugar's as crazy as he is.
Tell me about
anything.
It.
Yeah, you know about that, don't you? But look, good win for them. Good win for Fraser Clark and Caroline Dubois. As you said, we are going to be having Ben Whitaker on as well, talking about not that performance alone, but what next for him as well. That's the question every time you win, isn't it? What next? Mm. What next for Jake Paul? It was supposed to be Hasim Rahman Jr. This has gone a bit crazy now. For those of you who don't know what's going on, there was a contract signed. Hasim Rahman had to get down to 200 pounds. He's a big, big guy. He really is. In the end, he wasn't going to make the 200 pounds. And according to people in the know, he was going to turn up, maybe be about 210, 215, and then fight was going to go ahead because, you know what? We need an opponent. The fight's going to go ahead. What Jake Paul and the New York State Athletic Commission were doing test weights in between. And they could see that this guy wasn't actually cutting too much weight to the point where he only got down to around 220, 215. And they're like, okay, you're not going to make the weight fights off. What do you make of all this nonsense?
Well, gambling.com have put out a little a statement to me on an email today saying that Jake Paul is revealed as the most hated boxer on the internet. That doesn't surprise me at all. He loves embracing the haters and winning them over. I think there's a much more nuanced and complex situation than Jake Paul saying, I'm not fighting this guy at 215 pounds. Mm. Because weirdly and bizarrely, and I know him very well, Mauricio Sulaiman, if you remember rightly, the president of the World Boxing Council, said that if Jake Paul wins this cruiserweight fight, which is 15 pounds lighter than that, he gets into the rankings with the WBC. Whether that, probably at 15, I imagine. Mm. Doesn't merit it, frankly. Obviously this is the first not, real box that he's boxed in his very short and very staged career. Two fights against a UFC former champion. Tyron Woodley was a wrestler, not a boxer. Weirdly, ESPN called it knockout of the year last year. Do you remember?
Absolute nonsense.
It's nonsense because it's not our sport. Mm. It's a circus sideshow. Mm. And I think Jake's playing the WBC card here because that fight wouldn't have been sanctioned as a cruiserweight bout, and he's also toying with Hasim Rahman Jr. I see Chris Eubank Jr. offered his body up for the fight as
I
well.
Saw that,
That's never going to happen.
What's he doing?
Well, he's trying to get more money for the Conor Benn fight, isn't he? Mm. Trying to get it over the line. I hear it's very close to being over the line. By the way, next 48 hours. I've been saying that.
Really?
Like, I'm starting to sound like Eddie Hearn in that way.
On Saturday, by the way.
My fault. Sorry, not Eddie Hearn. I'll be talking like that. You want to see the Ali shuffle? Yeah. You want to see my GQ covers?
You see that GQ cover? What did he say? Silence
of the
Haters.
See the jacket over the shoulders look?
Yeah.
See the jacket over the shoulders look? Yeah. I wouldn't want to fight Eddie. I bet he's got a massive dig on him, actually.
100%.
And he's fit now as well, isn't he?
Very fit, by the way.
Yeah. Would you take him on? You're both 15 stone.
No, he can box a bit as well, Eddie.
Nah. I think you'd brawl him to death.
Yeah, I'll take him down and wrestle him.
I think you'd brawl him up.
Yeah. Honestly, I would. 100% brawl him up. let's move on to UFC 277. We're going to talk a bit more about Jake Paul a bit later. Amanda Nunes getting her belts back from Juliana Pena. Dominating performance. She put her down about 8 times.
Oh, she hurt her.
Yeah.
She. I think she almost wanted it to go 25 minutes to exact her eventual. As we both predicted on last week's show, she had an off night against Juliana Pena in the first fight. Mm. She clearly got all her kind of rhythms back. Mm. Her timing was brilliant. There wasn't a moment in the fight when she looked uncomfortable. And I still think Chris Cyborg is the greatest female fighter of all time.
I've changed my mind now. I did until the wee early hours of Sunday morning.
I don't know. I'd like to see a rematch between those two. Mm. I think if Amanda Nunes, the lioness, and we're talking a lot about lionesses at the moment, aren't
we? Yeah.
And rightly so.
Yeah.
If Amanda Nunes can beat Cyborg a second time, and I believe Cyborg will actually go to the PFL, Professional Fighters League, at
for
some
Kayla
point.
Harrison.
I know we're going to mention them on tonight's show because obviously they've got events in Cardiff and London on August the 13th and August the 20th. Very happily involved in their Cardiff event on Channel 4 on the 13th. Little plug there. But, you
plug
know,
away,
Brendan Loughnane, Kayla Harrison, all these guys, you know, Olympic medalists, Kayla Harrison, Olympic gold medalist, Clarissa Shields is going to go into the PFL after her fight with Savannah Marshall on September the 10th, the O2 Arena. So, bottom line is, we're back to Jake Paul, aren't we? And the point is with Jake Paul...
No, Amanda Nunes.
Jake Paul will fight Amanda Nunes at some point. You don't know with Jake Paul. Are you going to write off Jake Paul fighting a woman then? The greatest female of all time, MMA fighter of all time.
If that is sanctioned, and it could be sanctioned, in some wild state in America, they would sanction something crazy like that.
Let me rewind 22 years for you. Seattle, Washington. I went to cover Man versus Woman in Seattle, Washington in the year 2000. I'd just been to an Amir Khan.
Who won?
A woman called Margaret McGregor. And talking about women's issues at the moment, as we are with the Lionesses and Gary Lineker and all those kind of things, Margaret McGregor was a gardener. She did landscape design, but she'd been beaten up by her husband. She'd taken up boxing. She divorced him, and she'd become a boxer, and she was really good at it. And she fought a guy called Loy Chow, who was a former amateur boxer, a little Chinese guy. We called him Loy Chicken Chow. We dubbed him Loy Chicken Chow because all he did was run for four rounds. There were 6,000 of the 9,000 audience in Seattle were women, and they just cheered Margaret McGregor as she battered him from pillar to post like a raging bell. So it has happened before.
Yeah, interesting. There you go. He backed himself up there. Jake Paul versus Amanda Nunes could happen. It could. All right, you're listening to Final Extra on TalkSport 2. Still to come, we are going to be hearing from Jake Paul and Haseem Rahman Jr. and asking who is just to blame for their cancelled fight. And we're going to recap UFC 277 as well. Amanda Nunes looking absolutely fantastic and getting her belts back. But up next, we'll be joined by the one and only Ben Whittaker.
So the first round I wasn't the happiest, so I'm going to have to hurt this boy now. And at the weigh-in yesterday, I didn't like the way he pushed up on me in them jean shorts, man. Nobody in jean shorts is beating me.
All the top light heavies in the country now buying jean shorts. They're thinking, okay, we might have a chance in jean shorts, but look, no. Ben Whittaker, fantastic performance on the weekend. You know, when you just look at a fighter and you just think, they've just got it, haven't they? They've just got it.
They have, but they special. Don't. Hang on a minute. They've go got on. It. He's got it. He's got it in droves.
In droves.
Handsome, articulate. Yep. He's a brilliant fighter. Yeah. He's been in an Olympic final. What the hell was he doing on Saturday night on his debut, dancing around
What's
there?
What's wrong with that?
It was overboard. He turned his back on his opponent. He did the shuffle. He walked sideways.
Naseem Ahmed did that in his debut.
No, listen. Ben Whittaker doesn't need to do that. He's too good to be doing that. It upset me on Saturday night was watching it from the studio. I wanted to see clean, clinical. I didn't want to see any clowning around. It upsets me. Why has he gone to Barcelona to get a tattoo?
Let's bring him in and ask the questions. Ben, see, I'm trying to stick up for you here, Ben. Gareth's having a go because he thinks that you can't showboat and have a bit of fun in the ring. I think when you're as good as you are against that level of opponent, you can take the mick a little bit.
Hey, man, I respect you for backing me.
He obviously doesn't respect me.
Nah, I got you, Ben, don't worry.
Nah, 100%. At the end of the day, you got to go in there with the right mindset in his business. But it's my first fight since the Olympics. I just wanted to enjoy it, take in the atmosphere. And at the end of the day, I did what I said I was going to do, get the knockout, and that's what I did.
Was there a bit of a nervous adrenaline, though, making you do that? It's not what you learn in the amateurs to showboat, is it? Because the leash is off. I thought it was overboard. You and I had spoken in the week before. You know, I think you're an amazing boxer, and I can't wait to follow your career and cover it. But yeah. I just thought it was overboard, Ben.
You know, it's whatever floats their boat. But me as a boxer, I box better when I just have fun, you know, and that first round I was having a bit too much fun, but I really enjoyed it. And like I keep saying, at the end of the day, I got the business done. The worst thing would have been if I did all that and I lost, wouldn't it? So,
was Sugar Hill not saying that to you in the corner at
Sugar
all?
Sugar Hill loved it.
Oh, no, Sugar loved it.
He loved it.
I sat down after the first round, he said, "You've had your fun, you've frustrated him now, and you've got him where you want him now. Go out there, set him up and put that right hand there, and the finish is there," and that's what we did. So
we're going to see this every fight? Are we going to see you doing this every fight now?
No, definitely not. You have to go in there with a different game plan with every fighter, but this type of kid, it just made sense. Frustrate him, get him a bit annoyed, make him fall over his front foot, and the shot was there. But whoever the next opponent is, we look at their style, we look at their weaknesses and strengths, and then we play it off like that.
Ben, what's the year been like for you? It's taken a long time for us to see you in the ring. You've gone through so much in terms of you being the hottest prospect, and we know DAZN wanted you, Sky, everyone wanted you. You're now doing what you want to do more importantly, which is just fight. It must have been a frustrating year, but also now a good year that you're in the ring.
Yeah, it's been a crazy year for me because after the Olympics, I got my surgery done. Then, like you said, everybody wanted me. Then I was finding my coach. So a lot was going on, to be fair, but I'm just happy I'm back in the ring now. And the main thing now is just to keep active and just keep getting the fights in because I'm only going to learn under those lights.
Gareth told me when he spoke to you that you think you can do 168 or 175. I look at the 175 division over here and look, some people might say they might fast track you, but I look at it and it's pretty steep, isn't it? There are some really good 175 pounders. Can you make 168? Because I look at you and I don't see where any extra bit of fat is on you to make 168.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head there. It's one of those. I probably could make it, but how long could I make it for, you know? And we're in this game for longevity. So people like Sugar, who's been around, he said, listen, you might be a little bit light for 175 right now, but you can build up into a big light heavy. And it's better to get the rankings now, the experience now at light heavy. And then when down the years, when you've got all that experience, it will pay off.
You're a smart man, Ben. You know, we've spoken about this. You've got to learn to walk before you can run in the pros. Yeah. But, you know, let's throw it sideways here. What's the tattoo, first of all?
So it's just a bit of anime. So I already had the tattoo done. And I had to finish off the other side. And watching it back on Sky the other day, my leg looked a bit patchy, so I said, I can't have that for the next fight, so I'm going to have to finish it off. So it's finished now, so no more tattoos for me, and I can just chill out and focus. But I'm back Thursday, and I'm back in the gym. So
What does it depict?
Anime. So a bit of cartoon manga.
What's the symbolism of the anime?
It's just, to me, it's just I look at them, and I've grew up with them, you know, people like Goku and things like that. Yeah, so when I look at it, they all have their own little stories in the anime. Like, it's a lot of hard work, sacrifice. It's just like real life, and you never know. In a hard fight, I might look down at my leg and go, you know what?
And he's got a string of women's names down his arm. Do you know that?
I've got a couple.
Yeah. they're slowly being crossed out, unfortunately. But I've got to ask you this as well. 24 to 48 hours time, I'm expecting something to be announced. I'm going to ask you straight question, top of your head, Ben or Eubank?
Oh, good one. I really like Ben. I'm good friends with Ben, but I just think Eubank's too big, man. Yeah. The only way he'll win if they put this clause in where he can't get too big and he's drained at the weight. But either or, it's a great fight for the legacy sake, and I'm stuck in the fence a little bit, but I think the man who should do is Chris Eubank, just for what he's done, who he's fought, and his weight.
You know, when you look at the 175 pounders out there now, and I touched on it earlier, if you want to stay there in sort of 12 to 18 months, they're going to be asking you to fight those guys, so they are going to fast track you. Do you look at some of those guys already and think, that matchup could be favourable for me in a couple of years' time?
Yeah, 100%. Since a young kid, I always look at who's in front of me and who's behind me. So before I was even a pro, I was looking at those type of kids. So I put it all in the database. So whenever that moment arises, it's there, do you know what I mean? And I'm a person who I'll happily call people out, I'll happily fight whoever. So it's however my team want to do it and my promoters.
Who's the number one 175er in the UK?
Oh, that's a good one. I think just on what he's done, you have to say Boetsi. He's not really done anything wrong. He's won all the fights he's supposed to do, and he's in a position now for the world title. So that's my guy for number one.
Have you sparred him?
Yeah, I've sparred him so many times, too many to count on hands. I sparred him leading up for his Olympics. Then he came back and sparred me for my Olympics. So we've sparred so many rounds, it's crazy.
When Joshua Boetsi, we're talking about, British Ghanaian, beautiful man, beautiful boxer, tough as old boots, an Olympian and a medalist himself, of course, in Rio in 2016, in the light heavyweight division as a bronze medalist. When he steps into the ring with Anthony Yard, what happens and why?
Oh, that's a firefight because Yard, he hasn't got the best feet and neither has a Boetsi. But I just think Boetsi's a bit cuter in those situations. His hand defences are a bit better and he can bang. But
got a great chin as well. Got a great chin as well.
They just bounce off him. But you never know. In those small little gloves, anything can happen. And Yard can hurt as well. So, but I just think Boazzi's got a bit more experience and he's a bit more of a polished fighter.
Ben, do you understand? I'm sure you do. But I've got to ask you, do you understand the pressure that you're under? Like, everyone just expects you to become that guy. Like, I look at you and I was thinking, as I was watching you on Saturday, I was thinking, you remind me a bit of James the Gill. Not in your style, but in that everyone looked at James kind of the Olympics and like, James is going to be a world champion. And I feel like people look at you like that, like, he's going to be a world champion. And, you know, from that stage from now on your debut to become a world champion, I mean, that it's difficult terrain.
Same arrogance in the ring as well.
Same arrogance in the ring.
And I mean that as respectful arrogance, by the way.
Well, they just know they're better than their opponent.
Yeah. Oh, no, he's so talented.
I remember when James the Girl beat Paul Smith in Liverpool.
Yeah.
And just went up there and bashed up British champion Paul Smith. Yeah. Everyone expects you to do that, Ben.
Yeah, the good thing is with that, it's a lot of pressure, of course, but that pressure, you know, it makes me want to get up in the morning. It makes me want to work hard. And if I didn't have that pressure, maybe I would slack off, you know what I mean? But I've got this weight on my back, got this target on my back, and I love it because I want to prove everybody right and prove all the doubters wrong. So to me, it's just an extra boost, if you want to say.
Right, big one now. Alexander Usyk, Anthony Joshua, the sequel. Yeah. We know it's an awkward rematch and Anthony didn't leave it all in the ring last time. How does he beat Usyk this time?
I've said it many times. I just truthfully think this fight is a game of mindset. Me being a boxer, being in Anthony Joshua's position, after that first fight, you kind of go back to the drawing board and think, what could I do to beat this kid because he's so silky? And then being in Usyk's position, he probably thinks that was an easy fight. Mm-hmm. So going into the second one, there's a bit of complacency come in. There's a Joshua's hunger come in. But I just think if I was Anthony Joshua now, you've got a huge... use your weight advantage. You're a natural super heavyweight. You're so big. You're fast. Lean on him and show him no respect for the whole week. Forget all that shaking his hand and being nice to him. You can do that after the fight. Make it a real fight. Make it nasty in there. And I believe if he does that, he can come out with a win. But it'll be tough. It won't be an easy route.
To the middleweight greats last night, Gennady Golovkin, for half an hour with his translator, Konstantin. And I asked Gennady, it was the last question, and Gennady took it really seriously, gave me a really long answer. He said, I have never told people how they should box, what they should do. And all he said was, Anthony Joshua needs to find his wild animal. And if he finds his wild animal, he's got a good chance in the fight.
It's very true. And I think he's got it in him. He showed it before. He's just got to, this is it. It's sink or swim and just go out there and leave it all in there. And if he leaves it all in there, whatever happens, he'll come back and go, you know what? I did what I did.
I gave it my all. Yeah, because he knows he didn't give it his all last time. That's why we were so disappointed, all of us. And he must have been 100 times more disappointed than we are.
Yeah. The first one, he was kind of stuck in between styles. It was, shall I go, shall I not? But that just shows how good Usyk is because he made him like that. Where now, AJ has experienced it once and you just have to just go... Throw it all at him and hope one lands.
Ben, last question. If I was, you know, interviewing you after the fight on Saturday, the first thing I would have said is when you out next, because I want to see you out quite a lot. There are no niggles, you know, we never really know with boxers, little hand injuries. You're fine, aren't you? You are good to go again very soon, right?
Yeah. I'm luckily enough, I came out the ring with no problem. Good. So I've spoke to my team and everything. I said, get me out as soon as possible, just for the simple fact. Activity is the major part in my first couple of years as a professional now, because when you get to that later stage with titles and things like that, I've noticed your career starts to slow down. So this first year, second year, activity, go all around the world, around the country, pick up different fans, pick up different experiences, and hopefully that experience will lead me into the right way of a world title.
Ben, really appreciate you coming on. Thank you. Gareth's desperate for
Let me just say one thing before you go to the break. I'm just going to say, I think Ben should carry the ring cards around at the All Women's fight on September the 10th.
Hey, you know what? I think that's a good idea, man. We'll do it together, man.
No, you don't want to see. You don't want to see Gareth with his top off, Ben. It's a different level. We can't do that. Ben, enjoy your rest of your trip in Barcelona. We'll see the tattoo when you come back as well. Really appreciate you coming on.
Cheers.
Thank you very much. Lovely guy. Speaks so well as well. All right, you listen to Find It Extra on TalkSport 2. Still to come, we are going to recap UFC 277 and the return of Amanda Nunes. But up next, we're going to hear from Jake Paul and Haseem Rahman Jr., who is to blame for their cancelled fight.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Clear as day that these guys have been so unprofessional to work with, looking for any excuse to suck more money out of this event, to coerce us into doing things. And from the jump, I knew in the bottom of my heart that this guy didn't want to get into the ring with me.
Let me go ahead and kill all this internet cat Jake Paul got going on for y'all. I signed a contract to make 200 pounds. My body simply would not let me do it, would not let me get down to 200 pounds. Where in boxing do y'all see them canceling fights a whole week in advance? I didn't even get my last week to get down as low as I could.
Welcome back to Fight Night with myself, Andy Olip, Fight Night Extra, with myself, Andy Olip, and the great Gary Faye Davis. Jake Paul says the blame is solely on Haseem Rahman Jr. for the cancellation of their fight. The YouTuber turned boxer was scheduled to take to the ring this weekend to fight Rahman, but he announced over the weekend that the fight has now been cancelled. Here's what he had to say, laying the blame solely on Rahman's door.
Here's what happened, long story short. So he signed a contract to fight me at 200 pounds and was going to cut the weight down to 200 pounds. This is not a big cut for him, right? He's a big guy with a ton of weight to lose. So he sent a video into the commission the first time he weighed in at 216 pounds. The commission wanted to track his weight cut to make sure he was doing it in a healthy way. 3 weeks later, the commission asked him for an update on his weight. He sends a video weighing 215 pounds, meaning in 3 weeks, he only lost 1 pound. So the commission was like, hey man, you're not cutting the weight properly. We don't want you to lose it all in the last day. We're gonna have to change this fight to 205 pounds. My team calls me up, they're like, hey man, do you wanna change, they wanna change the weight to 205 pounds, that's a big difference. You normally fight at 190 pounds. Do you wanna do the fight still? I said, no problem. Let's do it. 205 pounds. He already has a weight advantage, height advantage, reach advantage, all of these things, but whatever. I know I can still beat his ass at 205 pounds. And that was that. We move forward. And then today, out of nowhere, his team calls and says, Haseem's not going lower than 215 pounds. If the fight's not at 215 pounds, then we're pulling out. My manager goes, you're not in control of this. We already agreed to 5 more pounds. He is a big guy, losing 10 pounds. Everyone knows in the sport of boxing that is an easy weight cut. People do that. UFC champions cut 25 pounds overnight to make weight. A 10-pound weight cut for a heavyweight is nothing.
A 10-pound weight cut for a heavyweight is nothing. What's he talking about, Jake Paul? Like, really?
Well, look, it's not a massive weight cut for a man that size. Do you know... Very often, do you know what motivates people for a fight? Not just belts and in a fight like this, is money. And I wonder whether Haseem Rehman has decided that he's actually not being paid enough for this fight. Because, let's be honest, is he second or third choice? I mean, they would have gone through a ton of people.
I'd be surprised if he's even that.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe even fifth choice. Yeah. He's not a great boxer. Mm-hmm. I've watched clips of him. He's not a great boxer. It would not have surprised me if Jake Paul had beaten him on points. It would have been a weird kind of fight. I suspect he wasn't being paid enough. Jake Paul calls all the shots on his promotions. It's his MVP promotions. It's his promotion. He's irked because it costs $500,000 to get the doors open at Madison Square Garden. It's one of the most iconic venues in the world.
Yeah, if not the.
Jake Paul's taking a loss, if not the. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Jake Paul's taking a massive loss on this now. He's disappointed 25 million followers that he has online. He's got to keep his own narrative. I kind of believe him because I don't think he fears Haseem Rehman.
No. Jake Paul will fight him.
Yeah,
he would. I think he fears fighting him at 215, which he shouldn't anyway.
No, I don't. I don't think it's a fear. I think what it is, I think he wants that WBC cruiserweight ranking as well. Mm. And it wouldn't be a cruiserweight fight for him. He wouldn't get ranked by the WBC as well. Yeah, I think there's... It's just such a shame that we're not going, do you know what, let's jump on a plane and go and see him and Tommy fight each other, him and Tommy Fury fight each other. I would have got on a plane on Thursday and gone for 2 days, even if I wasn't working on it. We could have made a show out there. Mm. It would have been amazing. It would have been amazing. That's the fight I want to see. I want to see Tommy Fury.
Is Jake struggling from a lack of opponents that just tick all the boxes? Tommy Fury took them all, right? He's... inexperienced as well.
He's the brother of the heavyweight champion.
Got his own massive social media following.
He's an influencer. It totally works. Yeah. And also, there's so much jeopardy on Tommy Fury losing. Yeah. You know, it's a really tough humble pie for the Fury family. If he lost to Jake Paul, I do think that fight will happen. I personally believe that Jake should bring that fight to the UK. Because I think there's no way they can say no then. Do the fight in the UK. Could they sell out a big stadium? I certainly think they could do 40,000. Definitely think they could do 40,000. Jake Paul's not finished in boxing. As I said, gambling.com says the most hated boxer on the internet, which doesn't surprise me in the slightest. But that guy ain't going anywhere.
Yeah, let's all hear what Haseem Rehman Jr. had to say. He lays the blame on Paul and says his team, and says there was a replacement ready for if that fight didn't happen anyway.
What's the problem in fighting me while I'm 215? What's the problem fighting me at 210? It's clearly them not wanting to fight. It's not me pulling out the fight. It's them not wanting to fight. I never said that I didn't want this fight, and the only thing that I can conclude is that they scared. I mean, they tried to drain me down. I told them, look, I ain't gonna be able to get all the way down to cruiserweight. I mean, it was a astronomical feat in and of itself from the beginning. From the beginning, when they called me to spar him for Anderson Silva, I told them where my weight was. They knew where my weight was, and they knew I was gonna have to lose about a pound a day for 30 days in order to make 200 pounds. Now, with all that aside, still, if I wasn't able to make the weight, they knew that we had a replacement on the side the whole time. He's been doing everything I've been doing this whole camp. The Muslim boxer, Muslim Kasing, who campaigns at cruiserweight, who wouldn't had to have drained himself, who could have saved the show. And Jake Paul could have fought a real boxer, but he don't want to fight a real fighter. He don't want to fight a real fight.
Honestly, he's let himself down in Haseem Rehman. Everything he said there is bad. Bad, bad, bad. It's almost like he needed someone to vet that video before it went out. Like, the idea of, we had a replacement fight. Jake Paul's not going to fight just anybody, is he? That's not the way Jake Paul works. The fighter's got to have some sort of name value to it. Hence why he fought Ben Askren, and hence why he fought Nate Robinson and wanted to fight Tommy Fury. And then to say they said I couldn't get down to 200. Why did you sign a contract for £200?
Yeah, but also what they're showing, and this throws to... Look, he clearly doesn't want the fight because he could shake off £10 if he wanted to. He hasn't got the desire, or he's not being paid enough. Secondarily, it shows the inexperience of Jake Paul's MVP promotions as a promoter. Mm. They should have had a backup. Mm. They chose the wrong guy at the beginning, as we said earlier. And it's just gone kibosh, in my view. He just retract, go back, reset, let a few months pass, find the right opponents. Maybe it's KSI.
Maybe it is. You know who I'm really disappointed for, and I feel sorry for as well, and no one really talks about these people, the undercard fighters.
Yeah, well, Amanda Serrano was on that card as well.
One as well.
Look, she was.
Yeah, and they lose out on a big payday. All of them do.
I'm surprised Conor McGregor hasn't stepped up and said, look, forget that now, let's just do it next. I mean, have I teased this to you yet on air?
Go on.
I wouldn't surprise me if Conor...
I said, me and you did say this.
Oh,
I said,
Mayweather and McGregor too. Yeah,
we said, what's the biggest fight out there financially? And I said, I think KSI and Jake Paul, bigger than any fight, any. You said...
McGregor and Jake Paul.
Yeah.
Conor McGregor and Jake Paul, enormous. I mean, not as big as Anthony Joshua and Tyson Fury, if that were to come together. That's
But apart from that,
well,
not
actually,
many
I'll tell you what.
Mate, it could push it.
Yeah, I think it might
it could
actually.
Push it.
Conor McGregor against Floyd Mayweather 5 years ago did $600 million, didn't it? That,
yeah.
The overall 4. Thing.
$4.1 million, I think, and then the gate and everything else.
Yeah, yeah. $130 million for Conor, dollars, and $220 for Floyd Mayweather. It staggers belief, doesn't it? It's staggering. It's just... It beggars belief is what I mean. It's staggering that one fight can get that many rubberneckers, you know?
Yeah, indeed. What did Connor say? Red panty night for everyone.
Absolutely.
Indeed. All right, listen to Vine Extra on TalkSport 2. Next up, we're switching gears to MMA. I want to also talk about the return of Amanda Nunes, who recaptured her belt off Juliana Pena. A good card, UFC 277. Amanda Nunes, once again, the champ, right? Already held the 145-pound belt, now regained 135-pound belt as well. Pretty one-sided beatdown of Juliana Pena, who, look, had her spot, especially when she got Amanda Nunes on the floor. But ultimately, I think Amanda Nunes just showed that there's levels between the two. And that's probably, and it still is a probably, why she is the greatest female fighter of all time. And Gareth just gave me a little grimace there because he really... sort of, I don't know, think Cyborg is, but it's very close between them. It's 1A and 1B.
Look, what Amanda's done is she's one of three fighters who's been a simultaneous double-weight world champion in the UFC. Extraordinary. She's still only 34. Mm. I don't think the legacy's complete yet. I still think Chris Cyborg was head and shoulders above everyone else. I think there should be a rematch between the two women because, you know... Cyborg wasn't far from really hurting Nunes and damaging her in that fight as well.
It's
a super fight. 51 seconds of mayhem.
It was.
The Hagler Hearns of MMA.
It was mayhem.
You can say Paul Daly and Nick Diaz was in Strike Force all those years ago was like a Hagler Hearns back in whatever it was in the early 2010s. But I think there is so much in a second fight between them both. Mm. It's like it feels incomplete. But Amanda came out on top. You cannot ever take that away from her. She's beaten Ronda Rousey, Holly Holm, Misha Tate, a generation of fighters. Mm. I'd like to see her fight Cyborg
and,
again.
Apologies, my brain just gone dead. 125-pound champion.
Shevchenko
twice. As well. Twice.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a run. That's a run, and she's running out of opponents.
And Sarah McMahon, who was very good back in the day,
wrestler.
Olympic
wrestler. Yep.
Shayna Baszler, Jermaine Durandamy. She was a great fighter. Megan Anderson, you know,
Megan Anderson,
maybe not on the same level as
big 145-pounder though.
She's, you know, she scorched a few of those girls, and she's shown that she can go five rounds really powerfully.
That surprised me, if I'm honest with you. Her gas tank at five rounds was very, very good. for a 34-year-old that, you know, it still cuts a bit of weight to get down to the 135 because she fights at 145 now as well. Must walk around the 160, 170 mark. And she, five-round gas tank was really good because it was quite a fast pace, that fight. So really impressed with her engine. And it is a case of what next? And I guess you're right. I mean, the only two girls out there we really want to see a fight, one probably won't happen in Kayla Harrison, and the other's Chris Cyborg. And then your legacy is complete. It's done. You can go off into the sunset with your wife and your kid and live life if she can beat those two.
Yeah, and the other thing for her as well at the moment is MMA has faded rather in Brazil. There was a time when Shogun Rua, Anderson Silva, man. Vitor Belfort. I'm trying to think of others right now. But I remember when I was covering it 10 years ago and working on TV with it, where these guys were, you know, Brazil was on fire with MMA. And she's really one of few champions. And, you know, the Bellator had a run with Douglas Lima and the Pitbull brothers and others. Lyoto Machida as well,
UFC,
I forgot about.
Yeah, Lyoto, Jose Aldo.
The UFC don't
even talk about going to Brazil anymore.
No, I know. And there was a time, 3-4 years, when they were going there, and it was a huge market. Remember, there was no UFC event in Brazil for 11 and a half years. You know, all these rows between the two camps. You know, the two types of fighting, Vale Tordo and I'm trying to think of the other now, but two schools of fighting. The origins of MMA in Brazil with the Gracie brothers and the Gracie family. So she represents much more than that. She also represents a mother in a partnership of two women with Nina Ansaroff. Amazing story, I know. I finish. I can't wait to be with you in the studio next time.
Indeed, you can't. Before we go, though, remember, Professional Fight League MMA is coming to the UK. And to celebrate, we've got a knockout prize. The TalkSport gives you the chance to be there in Cardiff or in London. The PFL is an action-packed MMA series hosting semi-final playoff fights in the UK this August on the road to the upcoming PFL $6 million championship fight. You could be there at the Motorpoint Arena Cardiff on Saturday the 13th of August or the Copper Box Arena in London on Saturday the 20th of August to experience the most innovative MMA league in the world live. For your chance to win tickets, go to talksport.com/win now. Entries close next Monday. Good luck. What can we look forward to, Gareth, in Cardiff and in London?
Well, look, we've got some amazing stars on the cards. People like Rory McDonald, who's a UFC and Bellator legend. We've got Brendan Loughnane, the guy from Manchester. I've got a documentary out on him that's coming out very soon as well, made with the PFL. I'll be working Cardiff on Channel 4 that night around an amazing event, Motorpoint Arena. I believe people like Joe Calzaghe be there, Joe Cordina, Enzo Macronelli,
lots of big MMA fans.
And then Kayla Harrison is fighting in London. She's an Olympic gold medalist. She won the $1 million last year, become an amazing MMA fighter, judo gold medalist from the London and Rio Games. Clarissa Shields is joining the league. And what it is, they've got two fights. If they win in London and they win in Cardiff, the people I'm mentioning, they go forward. These are still the kind of semi-finals. They go forward in October, November, and they win one more fight, and they all will win $1 million. They've got a really great system where they fight each other in leagues, eight divisions, and then they all go into the playoffs, as they call them. It's very modern. On the lower third of the screen, when you're watching it, all the punch stats are there and
lovely,
all that kind of stuff.
That's good.
That's really modern. They are really, really innovative.
That's what we sometimes argue about. You want to know about those stats, don't you?
Well, we were talking about people like Amanda Nunes. I don't know what her contract is with the UFC. I don't want to be out of place doing this, but what Chris Cyborg's deal is Bellator. But next year, PFL are going to pay-per-view, and they're going 50% to their big names. It'll attract loads of big names. Nate Diaz in his last fight with the UFC. We'll see all those kind of people over there in these magical matchups. Playoff seasons, big money at stake. There's a European series starting next year where there's six figure prizes in the European leagues, and then they go into the big leagues in America. No, it's taking MMA to a new level.
I think it's needed.
Fighters first.
Yeah, I think it's needed because I think the UFC need the competition. Don't be wrong, they're getting it from the ONE FC and Bellator, but not enough. They'll certainly get it from the PFL. All right, you're listening to Final Extra on TalkSport 2. Thanks as always to Gareth A. Davis. Thank you so much to Ben Whitaker as well for coming in live from Barcelona. That's it for this week. Thank you so much for downloading our Fight Night Extra. Remember, we're back every single Tuesday for more great content. And if you miss us, make sure you subscribe to Fight Night to catch up on all our other episodes.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.